Right now it is time for the true doctor to come through the door. It is time for Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Wertman. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com. Simon loses his tummy, and also Before Her Voice Was Still. Good morning, Dr. Wertman.
Good morning to you. Really interesting discussion. I'm sorry to have to interrupt it. And congratulations to you, Marshall. It's not easy to lose weight. Isolation, shut in, whatever. It's still hard. And even, and I'm sorry about the loss of your dog. Our 17 and a half year old dog died this summer too. So it's been hard.
Simon?
Yeah, Simon died at over 17 and a half.
So. Well, oh, I had condolences. I had no idea. I had no idea. I thought you were your what's the successor?
Hannah. So we got Hannah before a couple of months before, but
that's what I thought.
I didn't expect Simon to go, but on the other hand, it was pretty old for
17
a dog.
And a half. You get. I think you've got some records there.
Huh. And he was okay until pretty much the end, and then suddenly, you know.
Yeah.
It was just.
It just.
But it's a good memories, wonderful memories.
Yep. All right.
All right. So did Hannah start eating after Simon died?
But pardon?
Did Hannah start eating after Simon died?
no. And I must say, chasing around a puppy is another way of losing weight, especially when the puppy has something in its mouth that you don't want it to have.
That is all true. All right. So speaking of boredom.
Okay. So I think that most of us could describe at least part of our daily life, if not a season, like the summer, as being characterized in part by being bored. I mean, you ask people what they did over the summer, you know, now that we're halfway into the fall, people's response is, I'm not really sure, I don't think I did anything, it was pretty boring. Even though we may have done a great deal and have our lives fairly full, I think the repetition which is one component of boredom, and the lack of external stimulation, i.e. no sporting events, no concerts, no travel, getting together with people at you know, family or friend gathering of friends, no art museums, no fairs, nothing. You know, the fact that life on a Monday is pretty much the same as life on a Friday or a Saturday or Sunday, the repetition and the lack of any kind of unexpected novel stimulation makes people feel bored. And there's no way of getting around it until things really change. But when I started looking into the mood, as it were, the feeling of being bored, I realized that it really has some serious medical consequences and maybe antecedents, because if you are bored even, or were bored, let's say, even before the whole lockdown situation began, or you're finding yourself much more bored than you really should be, because again, there are plenty of activities to keep us busy on a daily basis. You know, it may be really a symptom of something else. And one of the things that people have pointed out is that being bored, is not only the absence of being able to go to a ball game or to a museum or a movie or a concert. It's the inability to get engaged with those events when they are available, so that it's really that kind of ho-hum, oh, yeah, there's going to be a fireworks, meteor shower, World Series in front of me today, but who cares? I really can't get myself engaged in this. And that often goes along with depression. It's not necessarily, you know, a symptom of depression, but it really goes hand-in-hand with it. You know, another aspect of boredom that has sort of medical consequences is people who have traumatic brain injury, especially the frontal lobes, because being unable to get engaged in anything is also a symptom, boredom being sort of the word that describes it. And, you know, as I described in what I sent you, Jill, I have a friend who was in an automobile accident. She had severe brain injury that, thank God, she got over. An incredibly active woman who would multitask, you know, with the ease in which, you know, I might eat my breakfast cereal. And she found that for about a year and a half, she simply couldn't get engaged in anything, including the online exercises that she was supposed to do to improve her brain function. And she would describe that time as being boring, but that not because there wasn't anything for her to do. She couldn't do anything. People who are bored, again, maybe because of you know, depression or other, maybe some other underlying problem, you know, tend to eat more, they tend to drink more, they tend to smoke more. You know, obesity is absolutely related to boredom. Increased alcohol consumption and smoking are too. And these are, you know, some of the things that people worry about because, you know, certainly we don't need to have an increase in obesity because people don't know what to do and therefore they eat. And you certainly don't want people to go back to smoking or if they've been abstinent, you know, and not drinking, go back to alcohol consumption because they're bored. And so it's funny thing is that nobody, you know, it's like we talked about other aspects of one's behavior that nobody ever talks about when you go to a doctor's office. You know, a doctor never says, how are you sleeping? And a doctor ever, never, never would say to you, oh, Jill, have you been bored lately? Because that's just something that doesn't appear on a medical checklist.
No, you're
but
right.
Really, it's a very important feeling that one should look at.
But there's also something to... one of the things with over-screenage and the overstimulation of screenage has been that people haven't had time to even get bored. They don't allow themselves the time to get bored. And that is another aspect of it. You know, because that whole contemplative time, and I know that sounds really twee, but
you're right.
It was a long, it was a really long day yesterday with just a bunch of stuff, and I got home and I was just grrr. And so I took a few minutes to just look at a tree. It wasn't that there wasn't a bunch of stuff to do. It was look at the tree.
That is exactly right. That's the other side of it. That I, as I, you know, said in the article, we can prevent ourselves from being bored when we are confronted with natural catastrophes. You know, a raging fire really does take away that sense of boredom, or a hurricane, or a blizzard, or a flood. You know, God forbid you should be faced with the serious illness of somebody in your family, certainly dealing with financial issues or teenagers, you know, not being able to go to school or doing online work and not really doing very well. You could list an enormous number of things that will prevent us from being bored. And frankly, they're not things that we particularly welcome into our lives. And as you say, just going from one item to another on your checklist also prevents you from being bored. And sometimes boredom is a good thing. Maybe we should just give it another name, which is, as you say, contemplation, resting the mind, you know, looking at a beautiful tree, you know, lit up by, you know, the fading sun of a sunset, you know, geese flying over a pond. These are the things that take away boredom and really make us feel that life is worth living, even for that millisecond that we see it. And that's what we should strive for, these beautiful things that maybe take away our sense of boredom.
Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Werpin.
Have a good week. Bye-bye.
You too. Food for mood.
And you can hear Judy Werpin right here on Robin Hood Radio on a Thursday morning, live or else on demand, robinhoodradio.com on demand. Click on Food for Mood with Judy Werpin.